Now, Mark is here with this week's choice of a vintage gem. What have you got for us?
Well, today we've got Pablo Casals conducting his own symphony orchestra in Barcelona in 1929, in Beethoven's Fourth Symphony.
Now, I know Casals as a performer, as a kind of setter of the benchmarks of some repertoire. I don't know him as a leading impresario, as a man who had his own orchestra, primarily as a conductor. What kind of Pablo Casals do we get here? Do we get all the fiery reputation that we would get with him as a performer?
Well, we do, because first of all, he saw himself as a musician. And actually, there's a little anecdote. In 1901, he crushed his hand in a mountain climbing accident. And before he knew that he was going to recover, he professed to be overjoyed because he was freed from the fear that he was becoming enslaved to a single instrument.
Okay, so this is a man pleased by the crushing of his own hand.
Yes. No, he was, despite his fame as a cellist, he came to regard orchestral playing and conducting as something that he really wanted to do.
What was his intention with the setting up of his own orchestra? What kind of sound did he want to achieve? What was the purpose of that?
Well, he really wanted to make an orchestra for the people, actually. He set up this workers' association, and the subscription concerts for the workers were only 6 pesetas a season. So he really did it for a nationalistic purpose.
Casals was fervently from Catalonia. He believed in Catalonian spirit and its expression in music and art in general. That's something that stayed with him in every aspect of his career and in his life.
Yes, it did. And he hired the musicians for this orchestra from largely Catalonian players. They were all international standard, but he paid them double the going rate so they wouldn't have to take other jobs.
So we're about to hear them performing Beethoven. Is this about somehow claiming great culture as part of what Catalonia was to be about?
I think he was very seriously classical in his approach to all this music. He was not a heavy romantic. The tempos are pretty steady, and he's very innovative in his approach to texture. As a string player, I think the string balance is very strong. And you can hear, he had a lovely way of rehearsing the orchestra. He spent hours and hours rehearsing them. I mean, it was 5 hours a day in rehearsal for these recordings.
We're going to hear the first movement of the Fourth Symphony. It's very often said to be one of Beethoven's neglected pieces because it sits between these two great works, the Third and the Fifth Symphony. What is it that these players and Casals bring to this repertoire? How do they bring this particular movement alive for you?
I don't want to say that it's a Spanish sound, but it certainly doesn't sound like a Northern European orchestra. It's quite raw and energetic. It's very warm and honest, and also has a lot of emotion in it. It's not as clean and polished and refined as you might hear German orchestras of the period play, but it certainly has a rhythmic drive and a rhythmic energy, and he really draws a huge amount of character out of these players.
So when you listen to this recording, what is it about its inherent musical qualities that makes you smile, that just strikes a note with you?
It's the sense of rhythm. It's basically the character. And also the slight roughness in it is quite charming, I think, as well.
Let's hear it now, the first movement of Beethoven's Fourth Symphony.
Thank you.
recording made in 1929, the Pablo Casals Symphony Orchestra of Barcelona performing the first movement of Beethoven's Symphony No. 4.
That's a really charismatic presence there, I think, don't you? The Gramophone Review that came out just after that recording was released in 1930, the reviewer says, "I can't think of any other interpreter who so successfully underlines the sheer inventiveness of Beethoven's writing."
I totally agree, and it's a brilliant performance. It's incredibly exciting, but at the same time, there's no particular attention paid to the kind of accuracy that you might expect of, as you'd say, a Northern European orchestra. If you were a German orchestra, you would never get away with playing it like that. They are, one might call it sloppy, one could call it charismatic. It depends what you think about that kind of recording. I reckon some people will love it and others will loathe the fact that it doesn't feel true enough to the letter and the note of what Beethoven intended. I love the spirit of it, though.
Yes, he was a very good orchestral trainer. You have to remember that he started this orchestra from scratch and built it up himself in two 6-week sessions per year. It took them 9 years to get to this level. And Adrian Bolt went to visit and described Casals' baton as being very, very heavy. He didn't want to give the fine, sensitive, tip-of-the-stick kind of instructions to his players. In fact, if there was a bit of the rehearsal that was a bit rough, he would stop the rehearsal and say, "All right, gentlemen, practice among yourselves for a few minutes and we'll start it again." And then he would always go back 40 or 50 bars so that they would forget the rehearsal and play it more spontaneously.
What happened to the orchestra after this recording?
Oh, it disbanded in 1936 because of the outbreak of the Spanish Civil War.
And so what then happened to Casals as a conductor? I mean, he carried on performing till very, very late in his life. Did he continue conducting?
And continued to conduct till very late in his life. And I think very late he became a lot more relaxed. You know, the tempos are slower. You really hear someone who's thinking very deeply about everything he's doing when he's old.